amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'd like you to take your Bibles again and turn back to Psalm 81, and then keep your finger there. We will be looking at several other verses throughout the message this morning, but we'll come back to Psalm 81, page 639. This past week, of course, we celebrated our independence. Many of you were not here, and you did not get to hear Pastor Terry's message on God Bless America. This morning, I want to bring my message concerning our independence. The title will not be God Bless America, but America Bless God. The subtitle will be The State of America as I See It, and as I see the state of America, I've come to the conclusion America is sick. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that we've had, and now we come down to this most important part of the service, the preaching of your word. And I pray that you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray you'll help folks to concentrate on the preaching and not let their minds wander to other things and other activities they may have planned. I pray, Father, you'll save those who are lost, reclaim those who are backslidden, comfort those who need to be comforted, and do a mighty work in these next few minutes. I ask you to fill me with thy power to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so glad that the Lord allowed me to be born in the United States of America. Have you ever thought about the fact that you had no choice in who your parents were? You had no choice where you were born. You had no choice when you were born. All of these choices were made by our Creator God. And I'm so glad that he's allowed me to be born in this, the greatest country in the world. But as great as our country is sick. It has a disease called sin, and sin is making America very sick. America is as sick as Israel was in the days when they were defeated in Ai during the time of Joshua. America is as sick as Israel in the days of Solomon when they were rich and satisfied and ripe for being taken into captivity. America is as sick as Babylon was in the days of Belshazzar. Drunkenness wiped away the strength of a king and all of his people. America is as sick as Israel in the days of Elijah when there was no rain for some 3 years and the people turned to a false idol, Baal. And because of their idol worship, their power was taken away from this nation. America is as sick as Sodom and Gomorrah was when God destroyed them. Yes, America is sick. I don't know how much sin there was in those twin cities that caused God to destroy them, but could it be any worse than it is in America today? Throughout the Old Testament, God points out the sins of Israel. They turned away from their God and they worshiped idols, just like America is doing today. They turned from God to sin and to idols, and they refused to walk after God. It isn't very hard to look around and see the sins of our beloved country today. For one thing, we have desecrated the Lord's Day. We think it belongs to us, and it's our day, and no longer belongs to the Lord God. Oh, we may give him an hour or so, but that's about all. And instead of maintaining the Lord's Day, a day of worship, we have turned it into a day of games and recreation and sinful pursuit. And the weakening of our nation is the result of that. When the Apostle Paul was on the Isle of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In other words, he was saying, today is the Lord's day, and I'm going to spend this day worshiping God. Many of us would have to say, instead of I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, I was in the flesh on the Lord's day. Then we have suffered the loss of moral standards. The Bible standards have been set aside, and we have replaced them with many immoral indulgences. And then we have witnessed the increase of profane speech. Keeping your finger in Psalm 81, go back to the front of the Bible to Exodus chapter 20, please. Way back to the front of the Bible. Exodus chapter 20 lists the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 20, page 95 in your King James Scofield Bible. And look with me at verse number 7. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The misuse of the name of God and the Lord Jesus Christ is common speech in most of our society today. Both men and women and young people are guilty of profanity. It's heard on the sidewalks and in the elevators and in the business offices and on radio and television and in the movies. Years ago, a man would not dare to use vulgar language in the presence of a woman, but now the women are as bad or worse than the men at cursing. There seems to be no embarrassment or apology in our cursing. Profanity is used once every 6 minutes on primetime television, every 2 minutes on premium cable, and every 3 minutes on motion picture movies, according to a study done by the Center of Media and Public Affairs. And then we have the witness of the increase in drunkenness. The liquor business is one of the greatest businesses from the financial standpoint in America. Can you imagine working for the following company? It has a little over 500 employees with the following statistics. 29 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have been arrested for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 have been defendants in lawsuits. And 84 were stopped for drunk driving in one single year. Can you guess which organization this is? It's the 535 members of your United States Congress. The very same group that perpetually cranks out hundreds and hundreds of new laws designed to keep us in line, I think we ought to make some laws to keep them in line. There are over 500 cocktail parties in Washington, D.C. every day. Uncle Sam has become a saloon keeper. Each year there are over 23,000 suicides, over 16,000 murders, and over 56,000 people in America are killed every year, and many of them, in fact, most of them, are caused by alcohol. Dear folks, we better not take lightly the sin of our nation. Our churches are emptying on the Lord's Day while the ballparks are overflowing. When you do not come to church on Sunday morning, you are casting a vote to close the doors to God's house because it's just not important to you. When you do not come to church on Sunday evening, you are casting a vote to close the doors of God's house because it's not important to you. When you do not come to church on Wednesday evening, you are casting a vote to close the doors of God's house because it's not important to you. And if the trend continues, one of these Sundays you're going to show up for church and you're going to find all the windows boarded over and all the doors boarded over, and you'll find a sign that says God's house is closed for lack of concern and there'll be no more services in this building ever. Now you say, well, if that happens, I'll just find another church. You may go out and try to find another church, but you'll never find another church just like this one is. And let me tell you, if you don't think that's true, you check in with all the people that have moved away from our church and moved to other areas, and they'll tell you so. There's a book that I wish all of you would get and read. It's a new book on the market, and it is fantastic. It's called Already Gone: Why Your Kids Will Quit the Church and What You Can Do About It. You need to get that book and read it and then heed it. I see some bumper stickers on cars today that make me blush. But there seems to be no shame anymore. Sins that were once only committed in darkness are now committed in the brightness of midday sun. How many believers in Christ, who is the supreme example of holiness and purity and decency, sit in their living rooms night after night and watch bedroom scenes and listen to the most vulgar profanity and sex talk and taking God's name in vain and mocking Christians, and we sit there and laugh our heads off at it, and it is not a laughing matter. We have become so accustomed to sin that now we enjoy watching it on television or in the movies, and it don't bother us much at all anymore. Our young people attend by the thousands the concerts of the extremely wicked rock groups that live gross, immoral lifestyles where there's open sin and drugs and drunkenness and nudity. This past week, our world tried its very best to make a god out of Michael Jackson. And now some politicians want to put his picture on postage stamps. What blasphemy! What a poor example of a hero he was supposed to be. Let's make our heroes those men and women and young people who are serving in our armed forces somewhere in a distant land, giving their lives up for you and I so we can be safe. Now, in order to satisfy our young Christians, we have Christian rock groups that have the rock beat and put Christian lyric to them. Edward Bingham, who wrote The Rise and the Fall of the Roman Empire, gave the following reasons for the decline of Rome. Listen to them. Number one, a rapid increase in divorce. Number two, higher and higher taxes. Number three, the intense craving for pleasure. Number four, an emphasis on armaments when the real enemy was the internal decadence of the people. And number five, the decay of religion, which we are seeing today, and faith becoming mere form. If you look at these five things again, you'll see the characteristics of ancient Rome are all an alarming, accurate description of modern-day America. So what is our hope? Is there any hope at all? Yes, there is hope, and there's only one hope. What is that hope? We must repent of our sins and turn back to the God of this universe, and His name is Jesus Christ. We need some people like Jonah who will preach God's word and call our nation back to repentance. But along with that preaching, we're going to need people who will hear and heed and obey His word. However, I fear we have a famine in our beloved land today, a famine of hearing the word of God. Will you turn with me to the book of Amos, the 8th chapter? Amos chapter 8, that's just a little bit before the close of the Old Testament. Amos chapter 8. You'll find it on page 939 if you have a King James Scofield Bible. Some very important verses here that you need to see, so I hope you got your Bible. Amos chapter 8, and look with me at verse number 11, please. Amos 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Notice, it is God Himself, and God says, I'm going to send a famine in the land of hearing the word of God. Now, why in the world would God send a famine in the land of hearing the word of God? Well, Amos gives us the answer. Go back a page to Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. Look at the last part of verse number 6. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. The last part of verse number 8. Yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. The last part of verse number 9. Yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. The last part of verse number 10. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. The last part of verse number 11. Yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. And then notice what God says in verse number 12. Therefore thus I will do unto Israel, because I do this unto thee. Prepare to meet thy God. There is a famine of hearing the word of God in America today, so we better prepare to meet our God. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy, back to the front of the Bible, the 6th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6, page 224 in your Scofield Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And follow along as I begin reading in verse number 12. Deuteronomy chapter 6, page 224 and verse number 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says if God's people forget him, then he will destroy them. And they did, and he did. Will the same thing happen to America? How are we going to forget God? How do we forget God anyway? For one thing, we're forgetting God as being the God of all good gifts. All good gifts you have comes from God. Let's go to the other end of the Bible, from Deuteronomy to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, page 1307. James chapter 1. And look at me at verse number 17. James 1 and verse 17. James 1, verse 17, page 1307. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything we have to enjoy comes from the hand of God Almighty. And yet, who do we thank? We thank our employers. We thank our businesses. We thank ourselves. It's time, dear folks, to give God the glory and God the praise for all the blessings that we have in life. We joke about sin, but sin is no joke. Look with me back in Proverbs, back in the Old Testament again, to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. That's on page 681. Proverbs chapter 14, page 681. Look at verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9, page 681. Verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. Do you know what the results of sin are? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, sometimes death comes. Before death comes, sin brings other things. Sin has caused many a preacher to lose his pulpit. Sin has caused many a man to lose his wife and children. Sin has caused many businessmen and women to lose their businesses. We had a family doctor back when all of our boys were quite young, and we really loved this doctor. And one time, David and Don came down with a rash all over their little bodies. And we called the doctor and we told him about it. And he said, don't bring them into the office. I will come out to the house and look at them. Try to get a doctor to do that today. But before long, alcohol caused him to lose his practice. And he had to be admitted in an alcoholic clinic for help. Sin always brings judgment, always. We forget the history of nations. Every nation of the past which has turned away from God has gone into sin and has failed. And the same is true of our lives. There's no possibility of success if we let sin control our lives. Now, we're all a bunch of sinners and we're all going to sin, but as believers in Jesus Christ, we should not let sin control us. Can our nation be healed? How? Healing comes from one person who's the great physician, the eternal God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Psalm 81 now. Did you just keep your finger there? Page 639, if you lost your place. Psalm 81. After recounting the sins of the people, the voice of God speaks. Look in verse 13. Psalm 81, 13. And Israel had walked in my ways. Then God gave these beautiful words beginning in verse 14. I should have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, for their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. God is saying, oh, I wanted to bless my people, but their sin kept me from doing so. As we think about our beloved nation this morning, let me just give you a few simple thoughts. Number one, the God of the Bible never changes, and the God of the Bible is Jesus Christ. Go back to Hebrews chapter 13 with me, please. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, page number 1304. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at me at verse number 8. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Our precious Lord and Savior is the same yesterday and day and forever. Man changes, but God does not change. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of judgment. Secondly, God's pastors should not change. When they do, they are lowering their standards and watering down their preaching to suit the desires of mankind. The preachers of our day must be faithful men and will lift up their voices against the evil of our day. And we are demanded by God to do so. Let me show you why. Go back to the 81st Psalm, or Isaiah 58, page 763, 763, Isaiah 58. And look at God's instructions, especially for preachers, in verse number 1. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. And he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Then churches are not to change. I'm talking about churches that are doing their best to be true to the Word of God, fundamental, independent, Bible teaching, Bible believing, soul winning churches. It doesn't matter the size, they can be a congregation of 30 or 3,000. It makes no difference. This past Wednesday, July the 8th, I completed 36 years in the ministry. 36 years ago, this past Wednesday, it was on a Sunday, of course, we started Greenbush Street Baptist Church. In 36 years of preaching, I've never changed my message yet. I have not watered down God's word. It always has been and always will be the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Then number four, the Bible never changes. The Bible stands out alone entirely above all other literature. This book to man, it reveals his origin, his duty, his destiny. Of course, the Bible has always had its enemies and always will have. Men have tried to destroy it for hundreds of years, but without any success. You know why nobody's been able to destroy this Bible as much as they've tried to do so? Because of what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Would you look there with me, please? Matthew 24, page 1034 in your Scofield Bible, Matthew 24. And look what our Lord says in verse number 35. Matthew 24, 35. And Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Dear folks, this book cannot be destroyed. It'll last forever. It is eternal as God is eternal. The word of God as contained in the Holy Scriptures furnishes the sure foundation upon which we build good character, solid homes, biblical churches, and nations that honor God. This is the book that tells us how to live, how to behave, and how to treat others. Now, if we destroy the word of God and turn away from it, what in the world do we have left? Absolutely nothing. Preachers need to get back to preaching this book again, especially the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And church members need to get back to hearing and obeying what is preached. We must see the loving, compassionate Savior and let his love flow through us out to others. That way, there will be many can be converted, and those who are converted will then be comforted. One last thing. We need to see that salvation is by faith and faith alone. We must understand this morning the emptiness of a life without Christ in it. Look at these last two verses with me for this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, page 704. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And look with me at verse number 8. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 8. "Vanity of vanities," saith the preacher, "all is vanity." And then drop down to verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." What is he saying here? He's saying life is meaningless and empty without Christ in it. I wonder this morning, does that describe you? Is there an emptiness and a meaningless inside of you this morning? If so, you can change that by coming to Christ and receiving him as your very own personal Lord and Savior. And I hope that you will. America is sick, and we need to do what we can to heal it, at least to help. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the truths of it. We thank you for our teacher, the Holy Spirit. And Father, we don't have to remind you as you look down on America today, America is sick, and we've looked at several reasons why. Dear God, I pray that this congregation of people will repent of our sins, starting with the preacher, and turn back to God to live for him and serve him and worship him and adore him and give his word out to the lost, dying world. I pray you bless the invitation. If there's someone in our very midst this morning that's never made that salvation decision, they're here and lost and without any hope, I pray that they might see Jesus hanging on that old rugged cross, dying in their place, shedding his blood to pay their sin debt for them, and then was raised from the dead. I pray that they might see him and come to him and trust him and receive him. Bless the invitation as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.